First to Russia, where anti-corruption campaigner and lawyer Alexei Navalny is serving a 20-day prison sentence on charges of organising an unauthorised protest. Now, if you haven't heard about Alexei Navalny, pay attention. He's a charismatic, gifted politician and communicator. He's exposed high-level corruption and has bypassed traditional media with his blog and YouTube channel to give Russians, especially younger Russians, a weekly dose of biting commentary and political agitation. As Navalny's rallies grow and next year's Russian presidential election approaches, the Kremlin's response is being closely watched. Kyle Wilson will be watching too. Kyle's from the ANU Centre for European Studies. He's a former Russia analyst with the Office of National Assessment, the ONA. He's also been an official Russian interpreter for Australian heads of state, translating quite a few times for Russia's President Vladimir Putin. Welcome to Saturday Extra, Kyle.
Good morning, Geraldine.
Could you tell us a little more about this man who's just, I think, seeping into our consciousness?
Well, yes, Alexei Navalny, fascinating. Well, he's a 41-year-old Russian patriot. He's shown that he has courage and integrity and determination. He's married with two young children, incidentally known to have been faithful to his wife.
My goodness.
she sometimes must wonder how much longer their children will have a father, because he's a politician in opposition to Putin's authoritarian system, and so he's a dissident. And, historically in Russia, to be a dissident has been a rather risky choice of vocation. It means you're calling for change to the political order, or you're resisting change when it comes down from on top. And so he's shown that he has courage, integrity, determination.
And political savvy.
You know, he has a real feel for language. He knows the principle KISS, keep it simple, stupid. And, his political platform essentially comes down to one phrase: if I'm elected, I won't lie and I won't steal. And back in 2011, he came up with a terrific formulation, which was a witty put-down of the big party that backs Putin, and he called them the party of crooks and thieves. And it sounds even more potent in Russian. And, that expression has gone into the Russian language. So, you know, he's formidable. He's bright. He knows the law. He knows money. He realizes how the law is being used against him. And he's shown that he's agile and, in the cat-and-mouse game that the Kremlin has been playing with him now for, 6 or 7 years, he's shown himself to be quite a formidable opponent. So clearly they're worried about him, as you say.
He's a very good-looking man, he sort of strikes a figure when he is in the crowds. He did have a flirtation, I read, with the right wing a few years back, which he seems to have moved away from that.
Well, listening to your program, I know your listeners know that right and left have become rather problematical terms. You know, across the spectrum of political opinion in Russia, you'd have to say that Navalny is towards the liberal end of the spectrum. There's no doubt about that. But he describes himself as a nationalist democrat, or if you like, a democratic nationalist. You know, given Russia's political landscape, unless you are clearly identified as a nationalist, as a patriot, you're not going to get very far. And the other important point is this: that in its efforts to discredit him, the Kremlin cannot credibly describe him as unpatriotic. Now, if you are described as unpatriotic, that means you're against the state, you're against Mr. Putin, who embodies the state, and, you know, you're virtually a traitor. So this is part of his strength, that you cannot credibly describe him as other than unpatriotic, no matter how hard you try. But he's not an extremist nationalist.
I have seen one marvellous description of him. He is three quarters liberal and one quarter Trump. Do you think that's unfair?
I would have thought that any any comparison with the gargoyle in the White House is perhaps a bit unfair to any politician. I doubt that Navalny himself would welcome that description.
Now, I've been reading about his rallies. I've seen them on our news. Remarkable. He sort of seems to embolden young Russians, and there's some rally footage on YouTube. People might like to have a look at it. He engages with people, even the hecklers. So what sort of can you put a figure on what sort of support he does have?
Well, as you know, public opinion polling in Russia is a complicated business, and figures and words that are used have to be unpacked. The facts are, as best we know them, that reliable opinion polls in Russia show that his recognition level, people are asked, do you know this man? What do you think about him? Well, back in 2013, it was about 40%. 3 or 4 years later, it's closer to 60%. So in terms of Russians knowing about him and what he stands for, he's done very well. And of course, you're quite right to focus on the youth vote, if you like. That is people under 30, because if you think about it, anyone under, say, 25 in Russia has known only Putin. Then, of course, most Russians, about 90% of Russians, get all their news from television. The television is virtually fully state-controlled. The problem for the Kremlin is that the younger generation, people under 30, are not getting their news from the television. They're getting it from the social media, where, of course, Navalny, 41 years old, Putin is 65. Putin is known not to be, particularly computer savvy. Navalny has a huge advantage because, I think you've looked at the clips, he's so credible and he's so entertaining and he's so lightly ironical.
Old man Putin.
Well, exactly. So he's playing that game very effectively, and it's for the Kremlin, the worry is that they're not being able to exert the same kind of influence over people under 30 that they can over the older generation.
His exposure of corruption is quite incredible. Here he is pointing the finger at Putin in a rare interview with the BBC.
How corrupt do you think is Mr. Vladimir Putin?
He's a czar of corruption. He's the basement of this corruption. And he's personally involved in corruption, and he's encouraging our official for corruption because it's his way of ruling country.
What has his anti-corruption foundation in the main uncovered, though, Kyle?
Well, again, he's been very skillful in this regard. Well, as regards corruption, Russia has never really had a rule of law, hasn't had it before and doesn't have it now. And if you don't have a rule of law, then you have other means in which to get people to do what you want them to do. And of course, in those terms, Russia is deeply corrupt by our standards. Well, all countries are corrupt, but it's a matter of degree. Putin has said, we have it on good authority, that he likes the expression, for my friends everything, for my enemies the law. So the corruption is taken, but Russians are very tolerant of corruption by our standards. But there is a point at which their tolerance has its limits. Navalny knows those points. He's been very skillful. It's unusual for him to attack Putin directly. He normally identifies some of Putin's allies who are not as clever as Putin, and he attacks them, such as Mr. Medvedev, the nominal prime minister. Well, Medvedev is a figure of fun in Russia, really. There are all sorts of funny nicknames for him, like Mr. Chupa Chups, or iPhonechik, the man who loves his iPhone. Navalny has very cleverly gone after Medvedev. In other words, if the people around Putin are so deeply corrupt, surely the buck ultimately stops with Mr. Putin. He's been very effective in that regard.
So I gather from the foreign correspondent people who tell us that, in fact, he gives very few interviews to the Western press because he doesn't want to be seen as a stooge of the Western press. So why is he untouchable? I mean, I'm amazed that he will emerge alive from this prison. This is his third time in prison. What's going to happen to him? Is he going to be allowed to stand next year?
Right. What's going to happen to him? The scenarios. Well, I think it's very unlikely that they will allow him to stand. all sorts of... I mean, Putin has very effective advisors called political technologists, and they'll be using their skills and imagination to ensure that Navalny does not run. The problem for the Kremlin is that they don't want to make a martyr of him, as they made a martyr of Mr. Mikhail Khodorkovsky, you know, whom they finally
Boris
had
Nemtsov.
To... Boris Nemtsov. I mean, really, this man is very much in the same tradition. So they have to play a skillful game. Obviously, they don't want him to run. They don't want to give him any space, no breathing space. And I think ideally they'd like to see him in exile. They'd like to see him out of the country. You know, no man, no woman, no problem. What will actually happen? Very hard to say. I mean, he clearly is playing a long game, and he's not looking at the next election, so-called election, in March 2018, of course. By the way, in Russian, the word for elections is choice, выборы. And the irony in a country of ironies is that, in fact, you won't have a choice. I mean, they'll find some kind of, you know, nondescript candidate to go against him. But I think the most likely scenario is that ultimately he will... They will have to silence him some way. They'd prefer not to assassinate him. And they will try to exile him. But, of course, in 2024, he may be still there and, in fact, may contest an election.
And I'll just very quickly, it is true to say, though, and I must say this, Putin has about 80% approval rating, doesn't he?
Well, you know, you have to unpack that. What do we mean by approval? You know, a recent poll put in different terms... showed that about somewhere between 40 and 45% of Russians were either indifferent to Putin or had nothing against him. I mean, what do you actually mean by support? I mean, there's absolutely no doubt that it seems to me that in a free and fair election with the same kind of access to the media, Putin would be the likely winner. He's been in power for 17 years and his achievements are considerable. But it's quite clear that they're very worried because the economy is not doing well. The oil price is not going up.
Look, Kyle, we will revisit this. I thank you very much for those fascinating insights. I can see why so many people who get close to Russia become cynical. Thanks for your time.
It's a great pleasure, Geraldine. Thank you.
Kyle Wilson, a visiting fellow at the ANU Centre for European Studies.